Welcome, everyone. I'm delighted that you're joining us here for another free educational webinar brought to you by the Traditional Chinese Medicine World Foundation. I'm Larry Stoller, and I'll be your host. We'll be joined in a moment by Grandmaster Nan Lu and our special guest, Lynn McTaggart. Grandmaster Lu, as many of you know, is the founder of the Traditional Chinese Medicine World Foundation, and leads us also in the creation of an annual conference, the Building Bridges for TCM conference, and more about that later. Many of you are also familiar with Lynn McTaggart, but for those of you who are not, we're in for a treat today. Lynn has written several books that have been influential to many of us who are interested in exploring realms of consciousness and healing. Lynn's initial book, The Field, and then a follow-up, The Intention Experiment, have laid a foundation for helping us appreciate the power of our minds to heal. And she's written recently a new book called The Power of Eight. And I know in a moment, Grandmaster Lu and Lynn will be talking about The Power of Eight, about group intention, and in particular, the remarkable finding that Lynn is writing about the boomerang effects. The good healing effects, remarkable healing effects that happen for people who participate in Power of Eight healing groups. And they themselves have remarkable healing experiences, even though their primary focus appears to be sending healing intention to others. So I invite you to pull up your virtual chairs and get ready to listen in on what promises to be a really, really interesting conversation.
I think we need to talk about the, you know, we say you have a great concept, you know, you think the intention can really help people. So as of today, everybody mind never focus. So their intention is everywhere, right? So how do we to help people, you know, see their intention is very important?
Well, I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about intention that I found from studying it, and I've been really looking at the power of the mind to affect the universe, affect ourselves, each other, and the universe for about 20 years, I guess. Ever since I found some scientists when I was trying to research sort of some new views of reality, we found lots of studies from very credible, prestigious scientists showing that thoughts are things and that thoughts are things that also affect other things. So I really wanted to look at how far we can take this. And I've, since 2007, I have set up a thing called the Intention Experiment, where I have asked my readers from around the world every so often to send an intention to a target set up by one of the scientists. And we've tried everything from trying to make plants grow faster to trying to purify water to lowering violence in war-torn areas to trying to heal people of illnesses. And of the 30 experiments we've done to date, 26 have shown measurable, positive, mostly significant effects. So there's no drug out there that has that kind of consistent track record, just as a, you know, as a point of comparison. But as you say, most people think that intention is like a power thought. You know, you have just your power thought, and that's basically the only thing the universe hears. You know, you maybe get into a meditative state, send out your thought, and that's what the universe hears. But as you say, we're broadcasting 24/7.
So that's right. So you need to, how do you give people very clear or simple way to guide them to see, you know, most of the people, what you say that the misunderstanding called the power of the intention, right? So if they are, they say, oh, I try, I have a power intention, but doesn't work. It's not doesn't work. They do the wrong way. So they have a misunderstanding the power of the intention. So, you know, here has a couple called the basic fundamental, what are called the rules. If we want to do this kind of healing, if we understand one, you know, the mind and the power intention, so we have to follow called the basic rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you tell the people? So, okay, if you want to do this, that is the basic lines. So what do you, since you've done this so many times?
Sure. Well, what I've done is I've studied many intention masters, you know, master healers, Qigong masters, Buddhist monks, and I also looked at what worked best in the scientific laboratory. And between all of those things, there were a number of commonalities that all cultures using the power of thought use. You know, there are plenty of differences, but there were certain commonalities. So I looked at those commonalities and also what worked best in the laboratory. And one of the things that's really important is a very highly focused mind. You know, we think of intention as a kind of quiet meditative state. It's not. It's a very focused mind state. And there are very simple ways to develop that kind of mind state where you are actually sending your thought with all of your five senses. And one simple way to do that is learning mindfulness meditation, where you learn to stop all of the chatter in your mind and just focus on your senses, focus on the present moment. You know, what does it smell like, taste like, feel like? And just really focus on all of that and with all of your five senses. Another thing that's really important, probably the most important thing of all, is being specific. Most people don't tell the universe what they want. They will say something very general, like, I want to be rich, I want to win the lottery, when they actually mean, I hate my job and I want a new job, or I want more time to be with my children and grandchildren, or, you know, I'd like more time to pursue a hobby or another kind of work or my favorite thing that I'd like to do, like playing the piano. That's what they want, not necessarily having lots of material stuff. So you need to be really specific. That is possibly the biggest mistake people make.
That's
they
right.
Don't
and
really
you
tell
see
the universe
as today,
what you want.
Yeah, then you see us today, everybody too busy, right? They have phones. So they cannot even, you know, 1 minute without the cell phones. They constantly check their message, listen to that. So how do you teach people, just like I see my patients, they are crazy. I say, peaceful your mind. How can they peaceful? There's so many called the responsibilities. Everybody think they are important. All think they are not important. Either they think they're too important or they think they are worthless. So how do you do that? So that's why you know you've done this. Because you guide people, do you want to do this? That's a basic. It's doable because you tried it, you did this, and you help people to understand they do have a power. So how do you teach in today's the modern life and the people crazy, busy life? How do they do these things?
Well, they slow down. I mean, one of the ways I teach it that is the most powerful and the quickest is in what I call the power of eight. I put people into groups of eight, and I have them send a healing intention to one member of the group or even a person outside of the group with some sort of health challenge. And I ask them to formulate that intention statement together, be very specific, send it with their five senses, and all be sending the same intention statement while they're in a circle holding hands. And there's certain more techniques, but that's the basics. And I have found several things. First of all, in doing it as a communal thing, that really tends to focus people, and it also creates an instant feeling of ecstatic unity. We've actually done brain studies on people in these small intention circles, and we found that there's a big quieting in the parts of the brain that make us feel separate and also are involved in worry and doubt. The frontal lobes, the right frontal lobes of the brain, and also the parietal lobes, which govern our sense of space and say this is where you end and the rest of the universe begins. Well, that's all quieted way down. And the people report over and over again a feeling of you know, a mystical state, an altered state of consciousness. There's something very, very powerful about doing this in a group. And there's also been, I've found over and over again, not only the receivers seem to get benefit, but also the senders. Many times they have some sort of healing. So, or something occurs in their lives. And so I think what I find is the whole experience is amplified in a small group.
Then the one question is, among the, all of these nine numbers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, why you chose 8? Because there are no accidents. We all know, right? The, you know, the number can be 7 or can be 6, the devil's number, whatever you call it, right? People's mind, they can celebrate any number.
Sure.
So, you know, the number meaning something because that's always we are in this reality. Everything is associated with the numbers. So what is the number can create the maximum healing benefit?
Well, it was actually by accident. I mean, maybe there are no accidents, but
there's no accident. You definitely, because you are at a spiritual journey, you never have an accident. Everything's watching you or everything supports you. So the number gotta be have a purpose.
Well, it's very funny how it all came about. I had started these big intention experiments back in 2007, and they were working. We'd run 3 or 4 of them. So I thought to myself, well, I ought to run a workshop. But I have a background as a journalist, as an investigative reporter is where I started out in my career. And so I hadn't run many workshops before. I'm not a personal development trainer. And so I wasn't really sure how to demonstrate the power of intention in a workshop. So I'm kicking this around one day with my husband, and I just turn to him and I say, oh, well, I don't know. Maybe I'll just put people in groups of 8 or so and have them send an intention to someone in their group with a health challenge, and we'll put them in circles, etc. And he said to me, being another journalist, I like that, the power of 8. And that's basically how we came up with both the name and the 8.
So why they say there are no accidents. So gotta be, you pick up the something. So that's why I would say, wow, that's great. Why you pick up the 8? So that's why I say, you know, according for the Chinese, you know, a lot of people heard the Chinese have one of the called the I Ching, right? The called the number of the infinity or possibility. So, you know, the 8 is representing everything, every possibilities. So you put everybody into these possibilities and opportunities. And then you send the intention through this framework. Wow, I say that is a great forms and create this magic. So I think that the 8 real meaning something and the definitely and make a tremendous change. So you still have to, you know, I'm sorry that when you do this, all right, so you find that, you know, people in the group, they have a healing. So therefore, when we do these things, you guide people, tell people, so people want to help others. So they have to open their mind, right? They have to have an unconditional love. So how do you help people to understand, to help others? They have to get a benefit. They have to open their mind.
Well, this is the interesting thing about it. Because they're focusing on someone else, it creates that kind of feeling of unconditional love because they're doing an altruistic act. They're just focusing on someone else. I mean, most of us, when we talk about intention, we're thinking about intention for ourselves. And in fact, most self-help work, I mean, look at the name, self-help. It's all about healing the self. And really, the work that I do is all about helping the other, but there is an amazing mirror effect that occurs, and that's the thing that is so extraordinary, is that mirror effect can heal the sender as well as the receiver. I've seen it over and over, hundreds if not thousands of times. And the interesting thing, when we first did this workshop, you know, I thought it was going to be just a feel-good effect, like somebody having a little light back massage or something, you know, something not transformational. And we did it, and I was more or less initially just throwing out ideas, almost making it up as I went along. And the next day, when people came back after they'd been part of this circle, I asked the recipients, one after another, to take the microphone and explain what happened. And far from just being a feel-good effect, people stood up and said, I've had migraines for years, and my head feels completely clear for the first time in years and years. Someone else said, I have terrible arthritis, and my knee is really bothering me, and all of a sudden, it's gone, and I'm walking normally. And, you know, somebody else had a cataracts, and she said she was 80% better. I mean, it was shocking to me. I never expected anything like this. And really, my book, The Power of Eight, was I wrote a whole book about how why this should work and what's going on with it. And I think it's a, what I've concluded after a lot of research is that it is a mix of the power of intention, a mix of the effervescent effect of a group and how people become unified in a group. It's the magic of group intention, something really transformational happens, and it's also the power of altruism, of getting off of yourself. And that's how it just seems to open the heart. I mean, I have some techniques for helping people become more compassionate, etc., but just throwing them in a group like that and having them get off of themselves and intend for someone else is a real powerful healer.
Wow, this is so good. Then at the beginning you said that because as of today so many people, you know, misunderstand the power of the intention, and they also misunderstand the mind, because the power intention, you still have to use the mind. So, you know, what is the concept of the mind? So from your way and your understanding, and most people thinking their understanding and the mind is totally different kind of mind. Right. So how do you tell the people, say, if you wanted to do this, that's a basic fundamental homework or requirement you have to reach?
Well, I have them, first of all, start monitoring their thoughts. I mean, I run a master class every year where I teach people over 6 weeks, and then I put them into groups and have them meet. Every week, I put them into groups of eight and have them meet every week for a year. And what I ask them to do is a lot of homework. I have them, you know, there's a lot of homework, but just to give you a few tasters, one of the big important things is for them to start monitoring their thoughts. You know, just write down every thought they have for a week. And it's pretty shocking to most people what they are beaming out to the universe. We also work on very focused mind states, very focused heart states, and how it all gets supersized together.
Oh, that's good. So that means that all your group of people, they have to do this pretty serious training. They have to do the homework, right? So then all the listeners, you should understand. That's not just you sit there, you think your mind can do. You can do. You know, so take effort. Take some kind of training. Take some, you know, called self-cultivation, right? It's not that everyone want to do. You can do. You can do because that's the power of the intention. But the quality and the quantity is very important, right?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Well, and I think what's really interesting about it is, you know, there's a lot to practice. I mean, I have people practice becoming a better sender and a better receiver because it's important to receive other people's, you know, intentions too, to understand, because we're picking up what other people are sending all the time. And we look at how to avoid negative intention, yours and everyone else's, and also intentional relationships. How do you use intention with your relationships? So there's a lot of areas where people need to learn essentially how to focus and how to focus for the good.
Wow, that's very good. So all the listeners should understand. So it's not just about yourself. It's not just about the healing. It's about your life. So the healing is a part of your life. If you want to have that kind of the impact to others, you have to change your life. You have to understand everything is connected. So you created this program. You let people have experience. to understand everything is a connect. In order to have to reach this power of the intention, you have to change your mind, right?
Yes, absolutely, and your practices. And but what is really so powerful for people, and they see it from the very first time they work with me, and people are forming these groups all over the place, is that little group of eight. And I do want to specify, it has worked with seven, and it does work with nine. Eight is what I like to call a Goldilocks number. You know, it's kind of an ideal one. It's not too small, like four would be, and it's not more than 12, which would be start getting a little unwieldy. So it's kind of a good number in the middle, but as I say, seven and nine works, seven, you know, a group of seven or a group of nine works just as well. But when you put people into groups, they see and feel all of this. They see the connection, they see the unified state, they experience that altered state, they see the power of their thoughts to affect other people, and it becomes amazing. I mean, usually the people who they meet with consistently into groups become like another family. They're their intention family.
So have you seen the, you know, the group of people, which is if you chose the eight people in the group, their health conditions, their mental conditions are impacted to the outcome?
Oh, unbelievably, to a shocking degree. In 2015, I was so stunned by all of this. I've been seeing it over years, so I decided to actually monitor it. Aside from the brain studies, I worked with a major university. It's called Life University. It's the largest chiropractic university in the world. They did a series of brainwave studies on people who were doing Power of Eight for the first time, and that, they're the ones who found that these parts of the brain, there was kind of a global quieting of the parts of the brain that create separation and worry and doubt. But I also studied one group, one master class for an entire year. And I monitored, as I always do, I monitor what's happening in their lives month by month by month, their health, their relationships, their career or work or hobbies, and their life purpose. And with this group in 2015, of the people who met regularly, like once a week, pretty much 100% of those people who met regularly had major transformational changes. I will give you an example. We had Mitchell Dean, who was a clinical psychologist, ironically, who had suffered from lifelong depression. He totally overcame his depression. He discovered the cause of it and was able to fix it. And another woman who had had chronic fatigue for 15 years, and she discovered the reason for it as well, and she's now lifting weights. Somebody else who had vitiligo, where the skin depigments, and she was able to have her skin repigment. Somebody else regained most of their hearing. You know, and on and on and on it went. But then we also had lots of people who ended up getting their dream jobs, having amazing financial windfalls, creating startup companies that were becoming successful, that had a really positive start, better relationships, making up with estranged relatives, et cetera, et cetera. And so they were, so many aspects of their lives were changing. And I really tried to study what it is and asked them all, what was it? And there were lots of things about it that really became powerful for them. One woman said, which I loved, the group was like a soup that slowly changed my brain. And I thought that was amazing, the idea of intending together, slowly changing the brain. And somebody else said, well, this is like, I think of all of us as little pieces of a unified whole. So we always talk about how we're all connected, but here we have a situation where people can actually experience that unity consciousness. And so that answered it for me too, but I think it is, as I say, I think it is the power of getting off of yourself, doing something altruistic that ultimately seems to be the real powerful aspect of it.
Wow, so that's a wonderful the concept. So then the other ways that I would like, you know, have you seen that we use that group is that when you chose a group or they formed a group by themselves? Have you seen these?
No,
things?
We
is
put them
different?
Into groups.
Oh, you they put build, it that group.
I have thousands of people on my website now who are forming Power of Eight groups. We have a forum on our website. That's lynnmctaggart.com/forum for anybody who wants to form a group and a virtual group and have members. They can put up something on my website and, you know, just say, hey, I'm in East Coast America and in this time zone, and I would love to meet with people like me. And we have, as I say, thousands of people organizing Power of Eight groups. In my workshops, we put them into groups. So we're putting them into groups again by time zones. So
that's
in my
good.
Book, I recommend people create their own Power of Eight groups so they can create groups of eight in their neighborhood, in their office, in their church group, in their, you know, in their group, in their professional group, whichever. But
have you tried
the?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
You know, have you tried the use of this power intention? Cooperate with the other organization, you know, like the Buddhists, because they use mind, or other people, they believe their power, their intention can affect to the peace of the world. So that way, you know, somehow I was thinking, you know, I was make a joke that way. So every year you see people so run for cure for cancer. I said, why not do the sick? Don't run, right? I said, Buddha never run. So why not do the power, use the power run, use your mind run for cure. So maybe whole world will change. I hope, you know, that if a whole world be together, do that kind of intention for peace, for love, that will huge
well,
change.
It's very funny you should ask that, because remember part of where the way we started was by creating big intention experiments. And after we'd done a number of ones for seeds and leaves, et cetera, I decided to take a giant leap and to have our audience send intention for peace somewhere in the world. But because these were experiments where I actually wanted to monitor the effects, I needed to find a place where somebody was counting the bodies, you know, and the injuries. And had been counting them for a long time, because one of my scientific team was Dr. Jessica Oates from the University of California at Irvine. And she asked me to get at least 2 years of data on injury and deaths from before we were doing the experiment and then several months afterward. So we needed a very good record keeping system. So we looked around the world, and at the time, this was 2008, we chose Sri Lanka because it was in the middle of a 25-year war. It had been going on for 25 years between the rebels and the government forces. So we did that, and we sent intention over 8 days. We measured the effect, and there seemed to be something key about our week of intention, because the government won several decisive battles that turned around the entire course of the war and enabled them to win it within 6 months. This 25-year war was over. It was really quite amazing. But that wasn't even the interesting part of the story. What was really interesting about it was the fact that when I surveyed the participants afterward to see how it was for them, mainly I was just trying to see if they'd enjoyed the experience, I got back thousands of responses from people saying, I felt like I was wired to a higher network. I was crying uncontrollably. I was, you know, I had tingling up and down my arms. I felt like I was in the tractor beam in Star Trek. And then they started reporting on their lives changing. They ended up having more peace in their lives. they were making up with long estranged relatives or relationships. They were getting along better with their not so nice bosses. They were going out and feeling more love for everybody they came in contact with. It was like they were hugging strangers. And this has happened in every single one of the experiments that I've run, every peace experiment I've run, including a recent one for the Middle East. And when you say, could we create peace? This was a really amazing, amazing situation. I had the opportunity to do a webcast on special equipment, and I was working with a fellow who was like the Deepak Chopra of the Middle East. He's an Arab, and he has a big following among all of the Arab countries in the Gulf. So he has special technology and a studio in the UK and invited me to run a teleclass for 2 days among his audience. And what he would do is put a camera in the hotel conference rooms of different audiences in different countries. So his audience was in 8 different Arab cities, several in Saudi Arabia, one in Jordan, one in Tunisia, one in Oman, Bahrain, Kuwait, etc. And he had audiences there. And so we decided to do a peace intention experiment for Jerusalem. And I also invited an Israeli documentary maker to be part of this too. And she organized a huge audience to be in Jerusalem of Israelis, of Israeli Jews. So we had the Jewish audience in one frame. And I remember I had 9 frames in front of me, and these different places, and they were all showing as a frame of, one of the frames, and I could call on anyone, and they could speak to the other people in the other countries too. And so we all did an intention for Jerusalem, and we chose Jerusalem. This was on November 9th, because it's a city, despite what President Trump has just said, it's a city that belongs to everybody and no one. It belongs to 3 major religions, really 4, and it's been felt to be the home of so many of these religions and the origin of them. So we all sent an intention for peace. There'd been a lot of violence in Jerusalem at the time and last summer. And so maybe we'll have an effect. But what was even more interesting was what happened among the participants. Because the people in the different countries via this technology could speak to each other, the Arabs started sending love to the Israelis. The Israelis started sending love back and saying things like, "Your God is my God. We should all come together." Everybody was
crying. That's
right.
So it was the love is love. Wonderful. So that means that technique is not, discriminated by certain kind of people. So as long as you have love, as long as you believe this, the power of the intention, so you can use the technique. So everyone are capable and able to use this technique to heal yourself and to help others, or even you can impact to the whole world. So,
absolutely.
These programs help a lot of people. So, we wish that program have more people and many people can get a beneficial for this concept. And anyone interested in this should go to, what's your website? They can connect to you, they can join this group, and they can, most important is that if you want to have a self-cultivation, if you want the real see of your mind, can use it for the right directions, the right place, and help people and help yourself. That is the one of the place you can try. So,
absolutely.
What's your
absolutely
website? Can people can connect?
They can come to lynnmctaggart.com, and where they'll find out all about our big intention experiments, The Power of 8. They can get hold of my book, The Power of 8, and they can also create Power of 8 groups on my website.
Okay, thank you very much, Nins. So, you know, very happy to talk to you. Anyone want this information, you know, that's a place you can go. But the power of your intention and start with you. Thank you very much. It's nice to meet you at a long distance. Time and space doesn't count.
Thank you so much. It's been great speaking with you.
Thank you.
So that was very interesting. I think we had a really special opportunity to listen in on this conversation with Grandmaster Nan Liu and Lynn McTaggart. I invite you to join us for future webinars. We have a number of webinars scheduled throughout the first part of 2018, and we'll be focusing broadly on topics having to do with healing and health consciousness as we move through the year and in anticipation of our fall conference that's October 11th through 14th, 2018 in Reston, Virginia. You can find out about the fall conference if you click on the conference tab on the tcmworld.org website. And we invite you to join us there where you can interact with, I think, a really stellar group of speakers who both from a teaching perspective and then just in terms of their availability, can help you go deeper on your journey to learn about self-cultivation and healing and health consciousness. We have additional webinars coming up. You'll see that on the website as well. We invite you to join us for those. And for now, thank you so much for participating and for joining us. Spread the word, share the webinar, and everyone be well. Take care. Bye-bye.